You might be wondering about the name of the church. It's Verity Baptist Church. The word verity appears in the Bible, in the King James Bible, only two times. Now, you might be wondering, well, what exactly does the word verity mean, or why did you choose that name for the church, Verity Baptist Church? Well, the word verity means truth. Most people today aren't interested in the truth. Most people today, most places, buildings, churches that are having services today are not interested in the truth, because I'll tell you what, church has become a place where you go to meet friends. Church has become a place where you go to meet business contacts. And church has become a place to be socially active. And look, we want to be your friend. And we want to have activities. And hey, we're going to have candle making and build your own ice cream. And we're going to do all those things. And we want to have activities. And we want to socialize. And we want to fellowship. But let me tell you something. Verity Baptist Church is not here to be a social gathering. It's here to preach the truth.
Verity Baptist Church started September 5th, 2010. My wife and I started this church in our living room. That very first service, we actually had 39 in attendance. And many of those were family and friends who came out to support us for the first service. But we actually had 5 visitors from the community that came from our door-to-door soul winning leading up to the first service. At that very first service, we had Brother Ray and Miss Denise Anderson, who have been members of our church from literally day one. And we had the Gessler family there for the first service as well. For that first service, we had friends that came out from Faithful Word. Pastor Burzins and his family, of course, this was before he was a pastor, came out to the first service. And we had Scott Brooks and Matt Adams, who are still at Faithful Word, and they came out to the first service. And we appreciate them coming out, of course. We had a barbecue after the service, and we just started. I preached a sermon called Verity.
What exactly does the word verity mean, or why did you choose that name for the church, Verity Baptist Church? And I'm telling you, we need a church. We need a place where the word of God is going to be preached.
Amen.
We need a place in Sacramento. We need a place in California where someone's going to stand up and say, no, we're going to preach the truth.
Amen.
And I talked about the fact that the word verity means truth, and that we were starting a church that was going to uphold the truth and not water down the truth. The very next week was honestly probably the first real week of our church, because all of the out-of-town friends were gone. And that second Sunday, we had 12 in attendance, and all of those were from the Sacramento area, from the community. We spent over a year and a half in the house. This was just a sweet time for us of growth and reaching people. Of course, my parents and siblings were with us from the beginning. There's still many faithful church members here at Verity Baptist Church that started coming when we were meeting in the house. Of course, Brother Ray and Miss Denise were there from day one. But other people that came while we were in the house were Miss Blanca Beal came, Brother Ron Edwards came, Brother Daryl Venable came, Miss Cricket Duran came, Miss Beulah Gamalo came. So we still have several faithful church members that were with us just from the very beginning when we were meeting in the living room. When we started the church in our house, my wife and I were young, and we were a young family. I was 24 years old, and we only had our 2 sons at the time, Joshua and Joel. And I remember, because of the fact that we were a small family, we had a lot of time to invest. So not only was I doing a lot of soul winning, but my wife was investing a lot into that first initial group of ladies. I remember we had a lot of activities, and we had activities for the church family. Our very first activity we had was Build Your Own Sunday. where we had ice cream after the Sunday morning service, and my wife put out all the toppings for a sundae, and people built their own sundaes. And then my wife would do a monthly ladies' activity. And in those beginning days, she did things like candle making, and the ladies did card making during Christmas, and they had sewing projects, and they did baking. So it was a time when we were investing into people, spending time with people. One of the real clear memories that I have of the house days was when we established one of the most important ministries we have here at Verity Baptist Church, and that is, of course, the coffee and donut ministry. And it's not something that we really set out to start, it just kind of happened. And I remember that there was just a Sunday morning when Brother Ray and Miss Denise and Miss Sharon Hack, who still visits our church from time to time and lives down the street from us, and she was coming to church in those days and coming pretty faithfully. I remember they came to church early on a Sunday morning, and we were just kind of waiting for church to start, and we were just sitting around. We mentioned, oh, it'd be nice to have coffee. But back then, my wife and I didn't even drink coffee. Now, we drink coffee a lot today, but back then, we didn't even own a coffee maker. And I remember Miss Sharon Hack, she said, well, I can go home and get a coffee maker, because she just lived a few doors down. So she went home and came back and got a coffee maker, and we made coffee. I mentioned, oh, you know, bring your coffee maker next week, and I'll pick up some donuts. And she brought her coffee maker, and we picked up donuts. And that was really the beginning of our coffee ministry and fellowship time. So, of course, when we were in the house, we began to baptize people. And I remember our first baptism was a lady who was faithful to our church in those beginning days. Her name was Carol, and she had a daughter named Elijah Marie, and they were our very first baptism. We baptized them in an inflatable tub, and the funny thing about the inflatable tub is we'd purchase this tub that we'd use for baptism, and it was kind of a, you could use it one time, it was one use only, and it wasn't meant to be one use only, they were just cheap, so we would use them, and then they would spring a leak. They were $100, $150 every time, so eventually, we decided to stop using the inflatable tubs, and we actually bought a baptistry. And what we bought was a fiberglass tub that was meant to be a baptistry, and my dad built a wooden 2x4 frame around it, and we set it up in our garage, and we would baptize in the garage. Because of the fact that we spent over a year and a half in the house, and we started the church in September of 2010, we spent the last part of 2010 in the house, and then we spent the entire year of 2011 in the house. And this was a busy time. One of the memories that I have is that everyone that we were reaching, so obviously like Brother Ray and Miss Denise, they started coming and they were already mature Christians. But everyone that we were reaching, all the new converts, none of them had vehicles and all of them needed rides. And this was something that we were doing every week. My wife would go and pick up people for church every week. And it got to the point where we were both going every Sunday morning, and she was picking people up in the van, and I was taking our other vehicle and picking people up for church. And I remember thinking to myself, it would be great if we could have somebody come to our church that drove themselves. And I remember saying that to my wife, and it was maybe 1 or 2 weeks later that Brother Daryl came. And I remember Brother Daryl coming to our church because we knocked on his door. I didn't actually talk to him, but we left an invitation on the door, and he came as a result of the invitation. And I was really excited because Brother Daryl drove himself to church. So that was kind of a big milestone in 2011 that we had someone that drove themselves that we had reached through our door-to-door soul winning. Another memory that I have of 2011 was it was the first time we had Pastor Anderson come preach for us. So he came out to preach at Verity Baptist Church for the first time, and we were in our house. And I remember it was a very memorable sermon. He preached a sermon called A Vision for Soul Winning.
Every single person in Sacramento would hear a clear presentation of the gospel.
And he gave our church a gift. He gave us a map of Sacramento that he had put together, and it was a map that we put up on our wall, and it was our first map that we began to highlight street by street and door by door, and we had a goal to knock every door in the city, and that was something that Pastor Anderson preached at our church and kind of put that vision in us and encouraged us to do that and gave us a gift along with it. In 2011 is when we took part in the filming of After the Tribulation, which has been a hugely successful documentary that has reached many people. And I remember that we drove to Arizona for the filming of After the Tribulation, and Brother Daryl, Brother Ron, and Brother Vincent came with us on that trip. They came with us to Faithful Word. In fact, if you watch After the Tribulation and you watch the sections where I'm preaching, you'll notice that the three guys I'm preaching to, the backs of the heads, are Brother Ron and Brother Vincent and Brother Daryl. And they were there with us for the filming of After the Tribulation. So it was a fun time that beginning year. So 2012 was an exciting year, and it was a year of ups and downs. So we actually began the year with just continuing the busyness of 2011. We were growing, and my wife was pregnant, and we were gonna have our third child in May, and of course that was Elizabeth. And we had a problem, and the problem was this, that because we were reaching people and we were going out every week and picking people up, she was going in the van and I was going in the Civic, we realized that when the new baby came, we weren't going to have enough room to pick people up for church. So we decided we needed to buy a church van, which I thought was interesting because we were still meeting in the house, and at this point we had purchased a baptistry and now we were purchasing a church van and we didn't even have a church building, but that's how we did it. So in 2012, we held our very first vision offering, and I went to the church people and I said, we were gonna buy a van. We're gonna raise the money to buy a van. And I found an old church van that a church was selling, and they were selling it for $3,000. And I went to this small group of people, and many of them don't own vehicles themselves. And I said, we need to raise $3,000 to buy a van. And that was our first vision offering. And the Lord blessed, and I didn't know if we were gonna be able to actually raise the money, but we ended up bringing in $4,500 for that very first vision offering. So we had $3,000 for the van, and we actually had an additional $1,500 that came in over that. So we bought our van, and I remember we had $1,500 left over. And back then for us, that was a lot of money. And I remember Brother Vincent saying to me, he said, Pastor, you know, I think you might be able to put down the deposit on a building with that $1,500. So we started looking for a building, and we found our first building that we eventually moved into on Northgate Boulevard. I remember this being a very busy time because we bought the church van. Brother Ron became our van driver and started picking people up for church, so that alleviated some of the stress on my wife and I from not having to pick people up. And then our baby was born, and I remember that was something that I remember clearly because my wife was actually in labor on a Wednesday night. And I remember that we were having church that night, and we had church downstairs in our living room, and my wife was actually upstairs with our midwife in labor. She was definitely in active labor, but she had still some time before she was gonna give birth. So I decided not to cancel the Wednesday night service, and we actually held church while she was in labor.
Lord, I pray you help my mind to be clear and help me to just focus for the next few moments on what needs to be done tonight and what we're focusing on tonight. And Lord, I do want to ask for my wife, as she's in labor, that you would help her, give her the strength she needs, give her the grace she needs.
And I remember just being super distracted. And I remember I was preaching my sermon. I didn't even know what I was saying at the time. I was just kind of going, relying heavily on my notes and going through the notes because my mind was up with my wife giving birth. I remember the Ray after the service saying, that was one of the best sermons you preached. And I thought to myself, well, good night. You know, I don't even know what I preached. But we got everybody out of church that night, and our baby was born a couple hours later. And so it was a stressful time. So we bought the van. Elizabeth was born. And around that time, we found the Northgate building. And the problem with the building, though, was that it needed to be remodeled. In fact, our very first building was a Narcotics Anonymous building. And we took that building and we had to remodel it. So right after Elizabeth was born, there was about a month where the men of the church were working on this building, and we had to take walls down and just clean it and paint it and put carpet down and ceiling tiles and all that stuff. So that very first month of Elizabeth's life, you know, my wife had a brand new baby. So we were already busy with that. And then we had the busyness of remodeling this building. That was the month of June is the time that we took to remodel and clean it up and get it ready. And we held our first service in July. So the last service in the house was actually a Wednesday night. And that Wednesday night happened to fall on 4th of July. We had 45 people in church that night, which was our average at that point. After about a year and a half, we were running about 45 in our house. And I remember we had the Wednesday night service, and then afterwards we all went to my front yard and we set up a bunch of chairs and we had fireworks with the kids. And that was the very last service in the house. And the very next Sunday was our first service in our first building. And to be honest, our first building was 800 square feet. It was really not much bigger than the space we were meeting in our house, because in our house we had our living room plus the kitchen and dining area that we were using for church. So the space wasn't too much bigger than what we were having anyway, but the big deal was that we were no longer in the house. And my wife and I were able to get our house back, because for that year and a half, year and several months that we were meeting in the house, we didn't have any furniture. We had it all set up for church, and we had a little dining room table that we would carry in and out, and we would have it in our house during the weekdays, but during church time, we'd carry it out into the garage to make room for the chairs. So we were able to get a dining room table and get couches and really have our house back. So that was an exciting time to move into our first building. So like I said, 2012 was a year of ups and downs. It was an exciting year. We were growing. We had bought our church van. We had our third baby, and we moved into our first building. And right after all of that excitement, we had a down. And up to this point, we probably had the most difficult time we'd had in ministry. And I remember that we were in the house averaging 40 to 45 for our services. And after that 4th of July service, that Wednesday night 4th of July service, which was the last service in the house, we moved into our new building and we started losing people. And by the time our anniversary rolled around in September, our church had gone from averaging 45 to averaging around 25. And it was a very difficult time. I remember just being upset with myself and thinking, why did I move our church into a building? It's the worst thing I ever did. I remember telling my wife that I felt like we had a church split. Though we didn't have a church split, we just started losing people. And some of it had to do with people got jobs in different areas and they moved as a result of that. Some of it had to do with people getting backslidden and quitting the church. But we just had a very low time. We moved into this building and we lost about half our crowd. So we were just losing people, and it was a hard time. As we went into that family and friend day, we actually began to turn things around and we began to start to grow again, and we actually ended the year positively. But there was a low time in that year right after we moved into our first building that I felt like it was a time of testing for us, because everything was going well, we were excited, and then we started losing people, and we just had to believe that we were doing what God wanted us to do, and we kept going forward. And so it was definitely a year of ups and downs. When 2013 started, we were coming up from a low and we were growing. And when our lease was up, our first year in our first building, 800 square foot building, when our lease was up, we decided not to renew it and we moved into our second building, which was twice the size in the same complex. So we went from an 800 square foot building to a 1600 square foot building. And this building also needed to be remodeled. So we spent a month again with the men of the church going through and taking things down and putting walls up and painting and new ceiling tiles and new carpet and all of that. And I remember Brother Hudson was our song leader at the time, and he was a man. Brother and Mrs. Hudson actually went to church with us in Vacaville when I was stationed in the Air Force. He was in the Air Force himself, and they had moved to Sacramento, and they started coming to our church, and they were a huge help, a huge blessing. And he was our song leader at the time, and but Brother Hudson was very skilled when it came to construction, and he was actually transitioning jobs. He had about a month's worth of leave, and he took that month's worth of leave and he just gave us his entire month. And I remember many men of the church were there helping, but Brother Hudson really remodeled that building. He was there 8 hours a day and from start to finish, and it was a huge help for me, because at the time the church was growing, so I was able to focus on other things even though I was there and helping. And we remodeled that building, got it going, and we held our first service in that second building on 4th of July weekend. So we had a big 4th of July service. I remember the choir sing in that service. They sing a song called Heal Our Land, and I preached a sermon called Heal Our Land from 2 Chronicles 7:14. We had a big day. One memorable thing about that service is that was the first time Brother Joel and Miss Courtney Usher visited our church. So they were considering moving from Colorado to be part of our church, and they came on that weekend and they were there for the first service in that new building. So that was exciting to have them there. And it was just a sweet time of growth. During that time, during that second building, is when Brother Graham started coming to our church, and we were growing during that time. Another memorable thing of 2013 is that we actually recorded in our new 1,600 square foot building for the New World Order Bible Versions documentary. And in fact, if you watch that documentary and you look at the parts that I'm preaching, that's in our second building, a 1,600 square foot building. I even did the Bible's Way to Heaven for that documentary there. So that was exciting. And during that time, we were just really growing. In fact, this was the fastest we were growing that we'd ever had. And our church was probably averaging at that time around 75, but we would have days of 80 or 90. But keep in mind, this was a little 1,600 square foot building, and we were just packing it out, and it was really full. And I remember there was a specific Sunday, on a Sunday morning, when the building was full, and a family pulled into the parking lot. They got out. They walked into the church building, and I was already at the pulpit, but I remember watching them come in, and they looked around and saw that there was no space. It was uncomfortably full, and they walked out. They got back in their car and just left because there wasn't any room for them. And I remember my wife, after that service, because she watched this happen as well, of course, and I remember my wife just telling me, if the church is going to continue to grow, we need to get out of this building. This building is going to stunt our growth. So even though we'd only been in the building for about 6 months and we had 6 months left in our lease, we decided to go ahead and pay to get ourselves out of the lease, and we began to look for a new building. And that leads us to our third building. Now, the problem that I had and the frustration that I had is that we started the church in our house. We were there for about a year and 8 months, and we grew. And then we went from the house to an 800 square foot building, and we grew. We had a low, but we grew as well. We went from the 800 square foot building a year later to a 1600 square foot building, and we'd remodeled both of these buildings. A lot of work went into that. And I kept thinking to myself, when we went into the 1600 square foot building, I thought, well, we're doubling our size. We're going to be able to be in this building for a long time. 6 months later, we'd outgrown it. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I need a really big building. I don't want to just double again, because I don't want to keep doing this, having to get a building, remodel it, and leave it. And even at this point, we were paying to get out of our lease. So we found a building, a much bigger building, It was a 4,700 square foot building, more than double the size of the building we were in. And I remember I just wanted to get a big building that we could be in for a long time and grow. And we signed a 3-year lease. So towards the end of 2013, we were looking at this big 4,700 square foot building. And this was a bigger building than we had ever had and a much nicer building than we'd ever had. And it was expensive. And I remember going to see this building, and it was me and my wife and our kids. And I brought the men of the church. And I remember Brother Ray being there. And I remember Brother Ron and Brother Daryl and Brother Vincent. I remember Brother Graham being there. And we looked at this building. And I remember saying to the men, I said this, we have the money to be able to lease this building and pay the rent. But I told them, but that's all we can do. And I said, if we move into this building and the church does not grow, then I believe that if the church just stays where it is, then I'm confident that we'll be able to make the rent payment, but we won't be able to do anything else. So that means there'll be no coffee and donuts. That means there'll be no activities. That means there'll be nothing. All the things that we were doing before and the money that was being spent, you know, we're taking on a big payment for us. I remember Brother Graham just looking at me and saying, Pastor, if you think we can do this, then we're behind you. And all the men just kind of affirmed it, and we decided to kind of step out by faith a little bit, and we signed the lease, 3-year lease, and we moved into this building. And that leads us into 2014, because we moved into our new building, our third building, in January of 2014. We moved our church that was at the time averaging somewhere between 75, 80, 90 into our 4,700 square foot building. And the great thing about this building is that we didn't have to remodel it. It was already nice. So it was kind of different, because up to this point, we always had about a month's worth of work that needed to be done to get the buildings even to the place where we could move in. And this building was easier. So we moved all our stuff in and started having church. And I remember, the big thing I remember was thinking to myself, we're never gonna fill this building up. I mean, it seemed massive. We brought in our 90 folding chairs, and it just looked huge. And I thought, good night, we're going to be in this building for the rest of our lives. But it was okay. You know, we that's what we wanted. And in 2014, we just kept doing what we're doing, kept soul winning, kept reaching people, kept growing. One of the memorable things about 2014 is that there was a lot of transition in my personal work. Up to this point, from 2010 to 2014, I had been working a full-time job while pastoring the church. And I remember Pastor Anderson came to preach for us. And this was in the spring of 2014. And he preached a sermon about pastors getting paid. And he was preaching about how we believe in having pastors, and we believe that pastors should get paid. And there was a lot of emphasis about pastors getting paid, and the laborer is worthy of his reward.
He's a man of God. He's working hard. Pay him.
Amen.
Pay the plumber. Pay the carpenter. You pay people who work. Then he said, well, the pastor.
I remember he preached a sermon that had this main emphasis about pastors getting paid. And during that time, I was kind of in transition with work. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I've got it. There's enough money in the bank to pay me for 1 month, 1 month's salary. So I kind of thought, and I'll just work for the church full time for the month. And when the money runs out, then I'll just go get a job, because I need to go get a job anyway. And that was really the beginning of me working full-time, because I started working for the church full-time for that first month. And then the next month, there was enough money in the account to pay me for another month. So I worked for another month. And then the third month, same thing. And, you know, here we are 6 years later, and I'm a full-time pastor, and now we have full-time staff. And that was a big transition for us. So, you know, I always joke with Pastor Anderson, because he came to our church and preached a sermon about pastors getting paid, and then I started getting paid immediately and went full-time. And that really helped us to grow. So we actually with me coming in full time and being able to devote all of my time into the church, that year we went from starting out averaging 75 to finishing that year averaging around 120. So it was a big year for us, 2014. I was full time by the end of the year and the church was growing and we were flourishing. So coming into 2015, our church was growing. We were averaging around 120 at the beginning of the year. And I was full time and we're reaching people. And I started to realize that we were having more work than even I could do as a full time employee. And at this time, Brother Stuckey had gotten married. And he was looking to move to a new IFB church to get trained for the ministry. And he was considering Verity Baptist Church. I remember he came out and visited and all of that. And he decided to move to our church. And I remember thinking about possibly hiring him. But I did not want to talk to him about that until he'd made the decision. I wanted him to choose Verity before I offered him a job. So I remember he told me, you know, we decided to come to Sacramento, and I asked him, well, what are you gonna do for work? And he said, well, you know, I might be able to do tutoring and things at the start, but eventually he's gonna look for work and things like that. And I remember having a conversation with Brother Stuckey, and I kinda had the same conversation with him that I'd had with myself the previous year. And I said, hey, well, since you're moving out here, you don't have a job anyway. And you're already planning on just kind of doing tutoring on the side and until you can find a job. I said, you know, I've got enough money in the bank account to probably pay you 1 month's salary. How about you work for me for a month? And after a month, if the money runs out and you have to go find a job, then fine, you know, you were gonna do that anyway. How about we try that? And I remember he agreed to it. So the big thing of 2015 is that we hired our first full-time staff guy. And it was Brother Matthew Stuckey. And it was kind of the same thing. After that first month, I had enough money to pay him for another month. And, you know, it just went on that way. And Brother Stuckey was a huge help. And bringing him on, of course, helped the church to grow. With him as full-time, we started our homeschool group, which that first year was just a handful of kids. Right now, our homeschool group has, I think, about 70 or 80 kids in it, but at the very beginning, it was just a handful of kids. We started having PE class, and my wife was doing field trips, so that was a big ministry we started in 2015. And towards the end of 2015, we were averaging around 180. So we started around 120, we're averaging around 180 by the end of the year, and a lot of that had to do with Brother Stuckey coming on and helping, and the church was growing. It was just exciting times during that time. So 2016 began, and when we went into 2016, our church was averaging around 180, and I was full-time, Brother Stuckey was full-time, and the first quarter of 2016 was the most aggressive growth our church had ever seen up to that point. We began the year averaging around 180, and by Easter, we were averaging about 225. So we had grown by 40, 50 people in just a matter of months. And it was exciting. It was a fun time, and people were coming to our church. We were reaching people from the community. And we were people were moving to our church from different locations. And one big thing that happened in 2016, there had been a shooting at a gay nightclub where 50 sodomites had been killed. That Sunday afternoon, I remember just looking at my wife and saying, I'm gonna preach a sermon about this Orlando thing. And I already had a sermon scheduled and written and planned for that Sunday night, but I decided to write a brand new sermon. And I wrote a sermon entitled The Christian Response to the Orlando Shooting. No, I think that's great. I think that helps society. You know, I think Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight. The sermon was really just meant to teach people how we as Christians should biblically respond to this shooting. So I wrote the sermon. And I preached it that Sunday night. And I remember after the service meeting with Brother Stuckey and with our sound guy. And something that had been happening back then was that Pastor Anderson his YouTube channel had been getting strikes. And when he was getting strikes, they would not allow him to post for a while, and it was just this big hassle. And he had warned me about being careful about what content we put up because YouTube was just kind of cracking down. So I remember having this conversation with Brother Stucky and our sound guy after the Sunday night service, after I preached the sermon, and we talked about, hey, is there anything we should do with this sermon? Anything special we should do? Should we put it on a different channel? Is this sermon going to be a problem? And I remember Brother Stucky and I just kind of shrugging our shoulders and saying, it's not really any different than anything I've already said. And we just kind of thought, yeah, it's no big deal. And we gave the okay to the sound guy, and he went ahead and posted it on our YouTube channel that night. I went home, of course, and just had the evening with our family, went to bed. And while we were in bed, the news media picked up the sermon, and it went mega viral. It went viral not just in our country, but all over the world.
Pastor Roger Jimenez's remarks came the Sunday morning after the attacks in Orlando.
Tonight, the pastor begins a controversial four-day speech.
And the way that I actually found out that it went viral was because on Monday morning, the Monday after I preached the sermon, my wife had taken our son Joshua to the doctor, and we were during that time having some concerns with our son. He was having some issues with his bones and his legs, and we're having him tested for certain things. And my wife took our son to the hospital for an appointment early on Monday, so I was home with the kids. So we were just having breakfast and hanging out, and there was a knock at the door. And I opened the door, and of course, you know, like it is with little kids, as soon as I opened that door, all the kids ran to the door, and they're trying to look to see, you know, who's at the door. And I opened the door, and I remember just a camera just being in my face and a microphone being put in my face, and some news person asking me for a comment about the sermon that I preached. And I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that there was a news camera and my kids were all, you know, being filmed, and I really didn't want my kids being filmed and put on the news. So I remember just kind of pushing the kids back and shutting the door. And I remember calling my wife and saying, there are news people at our house and I'm not sure what's going on. And then I started getting text messages from our church family, and people texting me and saying, Pastor, you're all over the news. And that was the beginning of that whole ordeal. And of course, 1 week later, on Father's Day, we had a huge protest at our church, and we had the news reported that we had about 1,500 protesters that showed up on that Sunday to protest against our church. I know we had 200 sheriff and police officers that were there for that protest to try to keep the peace. But we had a lot of people that came out to support us as well. Christians that came from different parts of the country and all over California, and a big group came from Faithful Word, and we had a good crowd there that morning.
I just wanted to say that we had a record-breaking attendance here this morning. Normally we have around 200 people in church on a Sunday morning. Today we have 281, and I just want to thank the media for all the free publicity.
It wasn't just a one-day event. This protest, the first Sunday was that big 1,500 thing, but after that, we had protests for the next 3 months, the next 12, 15 weeks, all the way up till September of that year, where we had groups anywhere between 5 and 25 would show up for every service and harass our church people and do those things. So it was a trying time. We went from averaging 225 after Easter, leading into June, and we dropped down immediately to 150 on Sunday morning. So we lost about 75 people just immediately, or over several weeks. But honestly, this time was a time of purging for our church. There was a lot of people that left that needed to go, and I believe the Lord really helped us. And what's interesting is that even though the overall attendance went down, especially on Sunday morning, our Sunday night and Wednesday night attendances went up, and our soul winning numbers went up, and our giving went up. And even though we lost 75 people, Our church really as a whole was growing and maturing, and I believe that we're a much stronger church for it. So right after the protest, and for months after the protest, it was an interesting thing being a member of Verity Baptist Church and being the pastor of Verity Baptist Church. A lot of our soul winners being recognized out in the community and being yelled at and stuff like that. And then myself and my family were recognized in the community, and both good and bad. I mean, I had so many instances where people recognized me at a restaurant or at a store or whatever and just started cursing at me and yelling at me and, you know, saying all sorts of terrible things towards me. But there was also times when we were out and about and people recognized me and they were encouraging me and telling me that they stood with me. And I remember going to a couple of restaurants where the servers gave us a free drink, you know, and said, hey, we stand with you. And so it wasn't all negative. There was a lot of negative, but there was a lot of positive. So 2016 was a busy time. About 6 weeks after the protest, we actually had the first annual Red Hot Preaching Conference.
Amen. Good seeing you this evening. Welcome to the Red Hot Preaching Conference. We're glad you're with us this evening. We're going to begin the service with a word of prayer.
Hey, you say, why do you hate abortions? Because we love children. Why do you hate filth? Because we love kids. When you determine what to love, it'll determine what you hate. Love, hate.
And the truth is this, that the Red Hot Preaching Conference was actually already scheduled. It was not as a result of the protest. We'd been working, we'd announced it about a year before, and we'd been working towards it, and it just happened to fall about 6 weeks after the protest. And of course, the Red Hot Preaching Conference ended up being on the news, and people were talking about, because now not only was there this hate preacher in Sacramento, but then the hate preacher brought all his hate preacher friends into town, and the media was there, and you know, protests as a result of that as well. And it was a big ordeal. So we had the first annual Red Hot Preaching Conference in 2016. And another first that we had in 2016 was that we planted our first church plant. And we started Verity Baptist Church in Vancouver, Washington, which is now Sure Foundation Baptist Church in Vancouver, Washington. Of course, Pastor Aaron Thompson is the pastor there, but he planted a church with us. He was the satellite leader. And what's really interesting about that, which I kind of chuckle about, is that earlier in 2016, before the protests, in March of 2016, I preached a sermon on a Sunday night to our church family called Church Planting. And I was trying to cast a vision for the fact that we need to plant churches, and that our church needs to reproduce itself.
And would to God that it would be said of this ministry, that because of this church sending out young men all over the state, all over this nation, that it could be said that there is in every city, there's a man of God there. There's a man of God who preaches the word of God, who's not interested in money, who's not interested in just having a crowd, who's not interested in fame, but is interested in preaching the Bible without compromise.
I remember in that sermon saying how I thought that it was very possible for us in the next 5 years that we might be able to plant another church, and kind of casting that as a vision. The funny thing about that is that just later on that year, we planted our first church, and we're actually now 4 years after that, we've actually planted 5 churches. So I had a very small vision back in the spring of 2016, but the Lord has really helped us and blessed us. But 2016 was a time of first. We had the big protest, we had the first Red Hot Preaching Conference, we had our first church plant. 2016 was also just a very stressful time. And during the protest, our landlord had came out publicly against our church. And our landlord actually gave permission to the protesters to be on our property, so we couldn't have them removed because they had rent permission from our landlord, because he came out against us. And a lot of the news were reporting that our landlord was kicking us out, but he wasn't able to kick us out because we had a lease that we had signed and we'd paid our rent on time and all of that. But what he had said is that he was not going to renew our lease. And our lease was up later that year. By the end of 2016 would have been the end of our 3-year lease. And the truth is that at the beginning of the year, we were wanting to leave the building anyway because we were growing so much. We knew we needed a bigger building. Now we knew we needed a building because we weren't going to be able to renew our lease. So we began to look for a building. But the problem was that we were looking for a church building just a couple of months after the sermon went viral in this big protest. Everyone knew our name and nobody was willing to rent to us. And I remember just the last part of that year, the biggest memory I had was just getting up every day and Brother Stuckey and myself and other men of the church just every day looking at buildings, looking for buildings. I literally believe that we looked at every vacant building you possibly could have looked at in Sacramento, including South Sacramento, which is like 35 minutes from us, and West Sacramento, which is like 25 minutes from us, and no one was willing to rent to us. So it was a very stressful time, and we found a building on Harris Avenue that we tried to rent. And they said no, they didn't want us. They saw us on the news. And then we went and looked at like 15 other buildings and they all said no. But my mind kept going back to that building on Harris Avenue. I really liked the building on Harris Avenue because that building had a church permit. So it's kind of perfect. It was a building that had a church permit. We wouldn't have to go and get the church permit, the assembly permit and all that. It worked out well. So I remember going back to that church, that landlord, and just saying, hey, you denied us, you know, you're asking this much, we offered it to you, you denied us. And I said, you know, how much would we have to pay you for you to take the risk of taking us on? And he gave us a number, which was ridiculous. It was very expensive, much more expensive than any other building in that area. But we had no other choice, so we took it. And we signed the lease for our building that we're currently in. One more memorable thing about 2016 was that after the protest, after the Red Harper Union Conference, in the midst of all of that craziness and looking for a church, we actually hired Brother Oliver. And Brother Oliver and Miss Melody became part of our staff family here at Verity Baptist Church. And same deal with Brother Oliver as with Brother Stuckey. They were planning on moving here. And once he pulled the trigger and told me he was gonna move here, and I asked him about work, and he was actually gonna take a job that was gonna pay less, and you know, but he was just doing it by faith, and he was just gonna start working and then look for a better job and all of that. I kind of said, hey, I can probably pay you for about a month. What do you think? And he came on staff, and he's been on staff, of course, ever since. So lots of things that happened in 2016. 2016 was a busy year. We could probably do a whole video just about that one year. But we ended 2016 just doing what we'd done in many buildings. And that last part of 2016, we spent about a month remodeling the current building we're in. So this building needed to be remodeled. It had been vacant for about 10 years. It was a mess. A church had met here before, but it just was not ready. So we came in, we took walls down and had to paint and new ceiling tiles and new carpet, and lots of work needed to be done. The men of the church came together, we got it all done. And we actually had our first service in our current building was our Christmas service of 2016. So we ended 2016 in a new building, a bigger building. At that time, it was a 6,000 square foot building. And then, of course, we've expanded it since then. But that was a busy year. And I was actually very happy to put 2016 in the books. So going into 2017 was really just a time for us to just kind of catch our breath. 2016 had been so busy with everything that we had done, and especially with dealing with the protest and getting a new building, being able to get into our new building and kind of just breathe was nice. But in 2017, we were still kind of dealing with some of the issues from the protest. Our YouTube channel kept getting strikes and different channels kept getting shut down, and we were having issues with YouTube in regards to that. But our main problem was that our donations kept getting shut down. And 2017 was a time when we were just It felt like every other week we were setting up a donations with one company and they would shut us down, another company and they would shut us down. PayPal was the first company to shut us down, and that was a big ordeal. But once we were able to get past that, 2017 was really a time of just kind of restructuring and rebuilding. And I know during that year, it seems like our homeschool group really grew and took off. And during that year, towards the end of the year, we were able to start really focusing on our YouTube channel. We kind of figured out how to do YouTube, and we had our main channel and another channel that we put all the controversial stuff on. We started really doing videos, and we started working on our first documentary, Psychopath Reprobates. Towards the beginning of the year, in February, we released our first documentary that we'd ever made at our church by ourselves, and we released Psychopath Reprobates, and it was very successful. It got probably about 25,000 views in the first week and was just doing really well. In 2018, we were busy with church plants. We first of all made the Vancouver church plant independent, so I ordained Pastor Thompson and it became Sure Foundation Baptist Church. I also sent Brother Stucky out and we ordained him as an evangelist, and he went to be a missionary in the Philippines, and we started Verity Baptist Church in Manila. And we also started a new satellite in Boise, Idaho. So we established Verity Baptist Church, Boise. And so that year the church was growing. When we sent Brother Stucky out to be a missionary, we actually hired Brother Matt Taylor as a part-time employee towards the beginning of that year. And towards the end of that year, we also brought in Brother David Nelotescu, initially part-time for a little while, and now he's a full-time employee of our church. So we hired a couple of people during that year. We also expanded the building. In that year, we added an additional 1,000 square feet to our church building, so allowed us to have more room as we were growing. And one big thing that happened in that year was that our main YouTube channel got shut down. And we had a YouTube channel that we were growing, and we were really close to breaking 10,000 subscribers. And right after the Red Hot Preaching Conference that year, YouTube shut it down, and we had to start over with a brand new channel. So those were just kind of some big events of 2018. So 2019, just again, we've just been growing. We've been doing what we've always done, preaching the gospel, reaching people. In 2019, we came out with our second documentary called Being Baptist. It has about 53,000 views right now, so it's doing real well. And we also ordained Pastor Joe Jones to be the pastor of the church in Boise. So now it's Shield of Faith Baptist Church in Boise, Idaho. We started a church plant in Fresno, California. So we established Verity Baptist Church Fresno and sent Brother Jared and Miss Heidi and the Pazarnski family down to Fresno to lead that plant. And in the Philippines, Verity Baptist Church Manila started a church plant in Pampanga. So it's been a year where we've just been growing and really focused in on church planting and church plants. So that leads us into the year we're in, 2020. And 2020, my wife and I have had several conversations about how 2020 feels a lot like 2016, that infamous year we had 4 years ago. And the reason for it is because leading into 2020, we were running around 180, 190, very similar to 2016. And the first quarter of 2020 was the most growth we'd ever seen since 2016. So very similar, like 2016, in the first quarter we grew a lot. In 2020, in the first quarter we grew a lot. We came into the year averaging about 180, and by Easter, we had broken 200, and we had had services where we had 220, 215. So things were really going well towards the beginning of this year. And then coronavirus happened. And of course, we actually shut down due to COVID-19. So we shut down for about 8 weeks, and then we decided to start back up. When we started back up that first Sunday, we started with 150, which is why my wife and I say it feels a lot like 2016, because both years we went into the year at 180. Both years we had big growth that first quarter, where running about 220, and then both years we had just some major event happen that brought us back down to 150. And of course, a little different this year than in 2016. But after we reopened, we spent about 8 weeks rebuilding. I preached a series on revival, and after those 8 weeks, we were back to about 175, 180. We had the 5th annual Red Hot Preaching Conference, and we had it in the midst of a pandemic, but we had a great turnout, we had a great time, great preaching, and then we actually shut down again for a couple of weeks due to sickness, and we opened back up recently, and we're just rebuilding. And I think the theme for 2020 is to rebuild and strengthen. This year has really been about being able to roll with the punches, and we've had coronavirus, we've had riots, we've had all sorts of things that have affected church life. And what we're focusing on as we really end the first decade of Verity Baptist Church and we celebrate our 10-year anniversary is just ending this year strong and gearing ourselves up for what the Lord will have for us in the years to come. And that'll bring us to the end of the first decade of Verity Baptist Church. As I consider the last 10 years of ministry that the Lord has allowed my wife and I to have here at Verity Baptist Church, I'm thankful for the impact that this church has made. I'm thankful for the people that we've been able to influence and the people that have came alongside us and helped us in ministry. I'm thankful for the Verity Baptist Church family and for this wonderful assembly of believers that have gathered together to fulfill the Great Commission in this community. As I consider what the Lord has accomplished, we of course want to give all glory to God. And I'm reminded of Psalm 118:23. It really is the theme of the last 10 years of ministry. The Bible says in Psalm 118:23, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes."